Katie, and so they're off their family. Appreciate Greg stepping up, doing such a good job. And so we just give thanks to them. So we're going to look this morning at the message. Here, we're going to count it all joy. Have you ever wondered, you probably haven't, why I pick certain messages, you know? The thing of it is, I can't tell you. I mean, it's like everyone's, you know, I do a series or I follow through. But just as you read through, just certain things just kind of hold of your heart and that's okay, you feel like, and then you just see how the Lord unfolds it. So here in 2022, what I'm going to start off is count it all joy. That's what the Lord says. Count it. Now, that's kind of a carte blanche. He said, just count it all joy. You know, we want to add a but. But, Lord, like, you don't understand. That's not a good but. It's just not, I mean, he does understand. So it's counted all joy. And I want us to look here at James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. And really, you know, we need to take these things to heart because the Lord has really given us some insight here. And it really helps us as we go and move forward and in somewhat can determine exactly what he's doing with us. And he tells us, he really tells us in the scripture. And I think about the Pharisees asked Jesus the question. He says, well, your problem is you don't know the scripture or the power of God. You know, a lot of people say, if I stand in before God, I won't ask him something. I never say that because I know that's what he's going to say to me. If you knew the scriptures, power of God, you wouldn't ask that question. So I take that on faith, you know. But that's what he says. So we want to look at this and say, count it all joy. It's like God knows something we don't know, and he's telling us about it. So look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Okay, I'm not going to ask. I'll just talk about myself here. When I meet various trials, my first thought is not to count it all joy. I'm just fessing up. It's not. But this is a direct command. You know, he didn't say, count it all joy, except for oneness, when you meet trials of various kinds. No, he covers, I mean, you go, and you got it, something down deep in you has got to say, you've got to be kidding me. Well, he's not. And what he does right here is he explains it. He explains it. Now, I go back to what my dear, dear friend Bill Wright would tell me, and he had explained the scripture to me, and then he would say, now you're accountable before God. So I'm warning you up front. You go, I'm going to try to explain, but once it's explained, you're accountable before God, before God. So look at this. First of all, you meet various trials, various kinds of trials. I mean, it just covers everything. And then he says the testing of your faith. He knows what's doing. It's like, whoa, God, there's a testing. Can I move forward on this? Now, I'm going to give you a little history here because I think it's kind of interesting. James is probably one of the earliest New Testament writings. So it was written like around 40 to 50 A.D., which makes it like 7, you know, to 20 years right after Jesus was born. So, I mean, died, resurrected. So, it's a contemporary book. People, you know, it was people who knew Jesus within his lifetime. And the book was written by Jesus' brother. How many of you knew that? You know that? Okay. It's Jesus' brother, James. Now, there was an apostle James. There was an apostle James. The apostle James got killed by Herod the Great much earlier. He got killed, okay? So it's not the apostle James because we know he's dead. So this is Jesus' brother. And by the way, as you remember, Jesus' brother didn't jump on the bandwagon and say, Jesus is Messiah. They didn't. They think, they're telling his mom. He's at it again, you know. you know, hey, not that Ed Hebdor, he's got this Messiah complex, you know. No, he is Messiah. No, he is. And his brother's like, uh-uh, he's not. But so for James to come along, really tell, there's a conversion experience for James. You know, can you think about, I'm joking, but can you think how humbling it'd be to go to your older brother and go, okay, you are a Messiah. You know what I mean? I don't know why I find that humorous, but I just find it humorous. Okay, so what we have, and the book of James is kind of like a New Testament book of Proverbs. It's kind of what it's like, because it really is kind of a, hey, this is what you do, this is what you should do, this is how things work. Now, many, and it's important to know this, that many have claimed that James and the Apostle Paul differed on the question of faith versus works. People said that, no, there's too much difference between James and what the Apostle Paul taught. One of those guys was in 1500s, Martin Luther. He had a great Reformation. But Martin Luther, he said, the Bible is inspired, every book except James. I mean, he didn't think it fit, you know. And it's like, okay. But it really does fit so clearly within the Scripture. And in reality, the spiritual fruit that James talks about is simply it simply demonstrates the true faith which Paul wrote about. So you follow me here? So the spiritual fruit that James talks about is a demonstration of the faith Paul talks about. They're totally consistent. Their writings are complementary rather than contradictory. Okay? I mean, when you read it, it explains everything. You understand that, and then you can see the truth there. Okay? And we'll see on December 12th. Actually, last message I said is December 9th. Anyways, December 12th. On December 12th and 26th, we learned some really, really powerful things about prayer. I mean, it should be a challenge to everyone. It certainly was a challenge to me. It's actually affected my prayer life. Aren't you happy that my message affected me? It's like, gosh, yep, that's what it says, you know, and so it really has affected my prayer life. Now, so, and the message, but messages on prayer in December 12th and 26th, you know, I mean, basically said, you have whatever you ask in prayer. I mean, it says that, you know, and so you have to accept that, you know. Okay, and so we talked about that. But what's also important is that Scripture points out that we will go through various trials. Right here, that's what it says. This is also true. Ask whatever you will. Have what you ask. You go through various trials. Well, when I'm in my various trials, you're doing nothing. You know, and so we thought, it's not happening, God. It's happening. But he said, no, I told you you go through various trials. But you also told me I'd have everything I ask, and I won't out this various trial. Out. I mean, I've said several prayers like that. But what you see here, know what he said about prayer, what we talked about, ask anything. I'll answer. Okay? That's true. This one is true also. We will go through various trials. So they complement, and now we have to look and say, and he's going to tell us how they complement. So this is important. I mean, this section should be tied to the prayer section because it ties in, and it's part of our confusion on prayer. God's not doing anything. He's not answering my prayer. I've been praying for 10 years. You know, he's not here. You know, well, this helps us understand what's going on. Okay? So, what we have here, is that we see that trials are necessary. Now, anybody shouting hallelujah about that one? It's like, no, no. You know, I have asked God like this. You know, he teach me something, I go through something. And I think, dear God, why couldn't you just give me a pamphlet? I'm good reading. You know, just give me a pamphlet, I've written, and I'll do. Why'd you do all that? But just, he's just let you know, God's never given me a pamphlet, except the Bible. He gave me the Bible and told me to read that. But so here we have, an understanding here based on this verse, is that trials are necessary. Therefore, because, now follow my logic, therefore, because trials are necessary, we count it all joy when we receive, go through them. Amen? Don't you? You already know I don't. But we count it all joy because all trials are necessary from God. One reason, okay, now we see this. One reason trials are necessary. What, you ready for one reason trials are necessary? Integrated with prayer, and he asks anything we ask. One reason trials are necessary is because they, the trials, produce steadfastness. Trials produce steadfastness. Which means we learn not to quit and finish well. I'm a Christian, love Jesus, bring it on. Oh, God, stop. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you steadfastness. I'm going to teach you not to quit. I'm going to teach you to finish well. R.T. Kendall, who's 85 or something, they said, what's your prayer? How can we pray? And he says at 85, pray I finish well. I mean, 85, you're trucking. You know? But he's, no. Pray I finish well. Well, God will teach us how to finish well. He'll bring trials, and it will develop our steadfastness, because we have to stand up, and through that trial, trusting God, so that we know we have steadfastness. You know? I mean, and I drive it home, we know this, but putting a physical, and God uses physical, a lot of times I like football and stuff like this. You got a guy coming up, and you see it all the time. He's got everything. I mean, the guy's got everything, in ability, smart, everything like that. And how many times you say, okay, man, you're it. Man, we're going to put you in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And that kid ends up training, playing college, or playing high school, playing college, going through, doing more training, And then it's like he learned, he had all the attributes, but then he learned how to use them. They said, no, he is it. But he didn't show up that way. God's saying the same way. You got everything I have, but now I have to teach you to live it out, because you don't know how. You don't know how, but I'm going to teach you how to live it out. Back to football, there's this back that was really, unbelievable in college. And so he played professional. And he said, they asked him, he says, what's the difference between college and pros? He goes, man, these guys hit hard. well, where you been? I was sickling. I thought I had arrived at XYZ University, and I went up here and said, man, these guys are eating my lunch. Holy cow. And he said, all of them do. All of them do. Well, see, this is what God, this kid had to learn, Well, this is what God's telling. I'm teaching you steadfastness. And how I'm going to teach, I'm going to bring tough things across your path. And as you press through those things, trusting God, and if you develop steadfastness, that no, you are trusting God and you are standing with Him. But I have to teach you that. No, you have all the attributes, but I got to teach you. Y'all got the amen? Now, how does that fit with our prayer? Oh, well, let's use our football player. Oh, God, I want to be an NFL football player. He goes, okay. okay, let's go. Go out for freshman high school football. then go out from college football. You know, now going to the pro teams. And you go, man, these guys hit hard. You see? That's what, well, we go, dear God, give me this X, Y, Z. He goes, okay, take this job. Take this ministry. You got that? Now let's move up to kind of college grade ministries, college grade jobs. You move them this time. Now we'll move you up into this position. Man, all these guys and gals are smart. Oh, man, all these guys, yeah, are gifted. And we might even say, all these guys and gals aren't very nice. Okay, but you'll stand in steadfast because God told you how to stand steadfast. He teaches us. Okay, see, this is what. So this prayer asked here is not fulfilled for 12 years. Why? Is God delaying? No, he's preparing you to do it. To do it. No, I just meant right here. You know, think how stupid. I wanted to graduate from junior high and go to the pros. Why can't you do that? He says, I ain't got much to work with. No, he wouldn't say that. But you see what I'm saying? God said, no, I'm going to answer your prayer. Amen. And the Bible says, as soon as he heard it, he answered it. But he's got to get this kid through high school, through college, and into the pro. It takes 12 years. Or, you know, 8, 12, 12 years. So God is answering the prayer immediately. Fire's coming out of his mouth. Smoke out of his nostril. He's answering immediately. Well, if the kid goes to college, and man, I don't like this night. I quit. God, you didn't answer my prayer. No, you quit. Man, these guys are pros. They will kill me before this is over with. He said, I ain't done doing this. He didn't answer my prayer. No, you quit. So what God is teaching us in various trials, and he said they must teach us that, is steadfast. I got to teach you not to quit. Pretty simple, isn't it? And he said, I'm going to teach you along the way. I have to teach you. I want to answer the prayer, but you don't know enough to get anything done. You got everything, all the capacity and the potential, but you need to learn how to use it before me. Before me. Amen? Now that is, so this definitely fits in the message is December 9th and 26th on prayer. God answers everything, you know? And it's like, and so he's communicating us and telling us what we need to do. Now, so what we must understand when we pray, trials are necessary, therefore steadfastness is necessary, is a fundamental Christian faith, and he has to teach us. He has to teach us. And that's the reason he doesn't take us from junior high to the NFL, because it's like, nah, God. No. You got like two steps before you can get there, you know. Each step will take at least 4 years. You know, you see what I'm saying? But so this is really important to pray. Ask anything, you know. Okay, I'm taking you there. And I'm even moving the future around. And but what you got to do, you can't quit. And I have to teach you steadfastness. That means you have to be steadfast in high school, steadfast in college, steadfast in NFL. Not like steadfast once. I was steadfast yesterday, you know. But I'm done today. This is ridiculous. You see what I'm saying? Okay, y'all with me? I mean, so it's powerful in connection with prayer. And it explains, you know, that God's doing something with us and God's doing something around us, but he's doing it immediately. I mean, God's not the problem. You know, it's like, hey, buddy, you just ain't there, but I'll get you there. And things aren't ready to put you where you need to be, but I'll get them ready. By the time you get ready, the things are right, you're going to be ready. Amen? But trials are going to teach you how to not to quit and finish well. And finish well. Now, the next verse, I mean, so it goes like this, and I'm just reading these two verses again because they flow so much into verse 4. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know Bill Wright, now you know. You're accountable. Because you know that the testing of your faith, what you heard God say, produces steadfastness. The testing is necessary. Then verse 4 says this. And let steadfastness, okay, wait a minute. Let, not quitting, finishing well, let steadfastness, I got it, I'm listening to God and I'm staying, I'm doing what he says. Let steadfastness have its full effect. Now this one drives me nuts, and I'm going to tell you this personally. I have this like picture when I read that. It's like have steadfastness have its full effect. It's like you're running a marathon. You come up to the line and you just, you fall on your knees. Wait a minute, it's like 10 feet. You don't get it. It doesn't have its full effect. You quit 10 feet short. See, this tells me you almost get there, but then you quit. This horrifies me. Absolute horror. I'm thinking, oh, I'm so sick of this. And it's like, oh my God, I might like be 2 minutes, 2 steps from God's blessing. I'm not going to do this. No. Let steadfastness have its full effect. Cross the finish line. Don't run up to the finish line. Cross the finish line. Amen? So you got to cross the finish. And it's just like, I have this vision. You know, I have this vision that, like, you just run up the finish line and you just kind of let up. You just kind of let up. You see it in football. Watch it. Guy runs to the goal line. He just kind of lets up and gets tackled. Or they're running 100 meters and the guy is trucking. And just as he gets across, he just kind of takes a breath and lets up. And God passes it. That's what this is talking about. Let it have its full effect. And you know when you're running that marathon, you take that, like, man, you're hurting. You're running that 100 meter. You're hurting that last foot, you know. So you come, I just take a, no, don't. That's when you have to go all the way through with all the power you have, with everything in you, so it can have its full effects. So you'll far past the finish line that God has for you. He has a finish line. Don't let up. You can't see it. Now, that's another thing that drives me nuts. Because when you're running a race, at least you're running a race 100 meters, they got a line or something, somebody at the horn. When you're running 100 meters for God, you don't see nothing. I mean, in fact, you may be the only one on the track. And no horn, there's no finish line. God goes, full blast, go. And you're going, okay, this is a lot. Man, I'm 100 meters. I'm at 95 meters. I said, this is nuts. I burn everything I have. I'll just take a breath. Then you don't cross God's finish line. Now, you keep running, and you pass everything you have, so it will have its fullest effect. You see what he's saying here? I mean, it is real. In prayer, I've been praying for 6 years. I'm done. What? I mean, he's got 10,000 angels. They're moving in. They're setting everything up, all the people. You go, I'm done. I said, okay, boys, come back. It just didn't work. You see what I'm saying? That's what he said. And, I've said this before. This is the reason Pastor Mill, I never understood half of what Pastor Millikan told me. Because he wouldn't explain nothing. He'd just tell you. Yeah. And one of the things, and I've said this before, he'd go, you pray and something happens. Oh, that's wonderful. Now pray it all the way through. I don't know what it is through. He said, no, it's not. Well, how do you know? Which was my first dumb question. He goes, no, you got to pray it all the way through. See, you got to go that extra 5 feet. You got to go that extra 10 minutes. You go like that. And so, but that's what I mean. He prayed all the way through. See? What stops God is we give up. And it's like, okay. So here it is, back to verse 4. And let steadfastness have its full effect. Let steadfastness have its effect. I mean, I had a lot going on the first 90 meters. No, I'll get the full effect, do the last 10. See, I mean, that's why the full there is for a reason. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete. You finish, you get a ribbon. See, you're perfect and complete. What did you complete? The 100 meters God gave you to run. The marathon he gave you to run. You were complete because you did what God said, and you went all the way across the finish line. God's finish line. Don't quit. But God, I can't even see your finish line. That's not fair. Thank you, man. How far is a marathon? 25 miles? Oh, God. Yeah, I can't even imagine. God bless y'all, whoever do that. You know, I mean, just, I wouldn't even start on that prayer. I said, God, in no way. You know, it's just like, no. But anyway, that's my issue. But can you imagine? How many miles is it? 26? Good grief. 26 miles. So we say, okay, run 26 miles, and we're not going to tell you where the finish line is. You're trucking along, you know, and you just crossed 21 miles. How you doing? The finish line's got to be somewhere here. You don't have anybody running with you. You don't have any signs. You don't say, hey, you got 4 more miles. You just run it. So God, tell me something. I am. Don't quit. But if I could, how many of you said this? If I could see the finish line. How many of you said that? Oh, if I could see it, I could do it. Like that. He ain't showing you. You do what? You run. You give it all. And when you cross the finish line, I'll tell you. And there's no tag. There's nobody rooting. It just goes, good job. My good and faithful servant is your flat of your face after running 26 miles. Lord Jesus. See? But let it have full effect. I ran 24 miles. Oh, come on. You know? It's 26 miles. But how am I supposed to know? Trust me, do what I say, keep running. So you will be perfect and complete. You see what I'm saying? This is what God, this ties into our prayer life. I heard you, fire went out my mouth, smoke went out my nose, heard you immediately, ask anything, I will do it right now. Okay, now, boom, go, 26 miles. God, you're not answering this. 5 miles, I know you're not answering. 10 miles, you ain't heard nothing. 15 miles, God, I got to pick another sport. This ain't working. You know, and you're going 20 miles and says, you know that call you put on my life? I think I misheard you. I didn't sign up for this much pain, God. You see what I'm saying? But that's, so he's telling us. He is telling us. As Bill Wright said, now you're accountable. You don't know how much pleases me to say that. He said it to me all the time. I was like, oh my God. I got where I didn't want to ask him anything. It's like, Lord. Okay, so here we go. Now let me read the whole thing. It's like, okay, 26 miles, no finish line, you run it, and he goes, good job. And you don't even know why, you don't know where to, he's like, praise Jesus. Now what happened? You ran 26 miles because God told you to run 26 miles, and he doesn't tell you the finish line until you get over the finish line, and the whole time he's working in you and everything around you. He says, good job. Now put all this together and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete. Y'all read the last part of that verse. Lacking nothing. Ask anything. You're lacking nothing. Don't quit. That's the reason steadfastness is always at the beginning. We won't put it at the end. Or actually, we don't even want to put it in it. You know. But so we learn something. Well, God just snaps his fingers. You know the reason that God can't just snap his finger and do something? Us. It's us. I'll just make all this steadfastness. You know, somebody help him. He is not working with him. I said, this guy's impossible. But God knew that before, so he teaches me in different areas to be steadfast. Oh, did you know I used the word different areas? Some things I'm steadfast in. Some things I said, this, I don't even want to start. See, I mean, you got to be honest, you know. And again, Well, if you show me the finish line, I can do this. I ask you to be obedient. I didn't ask you to look at the finish line. I ask you to trust me. All right, so lacking nothing. We all good with this? Now, in our various trials through our steadfastness, and this is really important, and we don't see this. This is part of the things we don't see. We don't see this happening. Like in Psalms 18, we looked at prayer, says, God, I never understood. He said, I come down in a dark cloud. You can't see him. I go, I accept it is true, but it makes absolutely no sense to me. Here's God, smoke comes out of his mouth, fires out of his mouth, and he comes in covered in darkness, and you can't see. Why? Because he's doing stuff we don't understand, and he doesn't want us to see it. We just trust he is doing something. He's behind the dark cloud. We can't see it. Go with me? There's that. So, here's the thing we understand. In the various trials, through our steadfastness, God, this is a truth. We accept this as a truth in our prayer and in our steadfastness. God is working power within us. What's the problem with us not being steadfast? We don't know how to exercise the power in us. So he's working power in us. And once we get through this, oh my God, I know how to appropriate this power. He's working power in us. See, it's not that he's not all powerful. He wants us to understand how to work that power through us. So he's working in us, and he is working around us all the time. Working, and we can't see it. We can't see it. And I don't know how to say, got this kid in high school. I want to be, you know, NFL. Yeah, okay. Here's the NFL team I think you'll fit well in, which hasn't been created yet. It's a new franchise, you know. But by the time you get there, I'll have it worked out in the franchise, and they're going to need somebody of your capacity. So he didn't tell you this. He said, okay, I heard your prayer. But we know he has to build a new franchise that has a need for this kid. And this kid goes to college. You know, he said, why are they making me do this? I don't understand why they're doing this, and it's nothing of my dream and stuff. He says, because I'm working this thing in this new franchise, and you need to go through this so you can be who they need. So what he's doing, we pray to him, he's learning for us to stand in power, and then he's working the situations around us so we can be where we need to be. He's doing all of that. And he heard it and started it immediately. But with our typical little kid football player here, it takes 8 to 12 years. And if he quits along the way, the whole thing falls apart. Did God not answer his prayers? No, he quit. So he teaches us not to quit, to finish well. To work in the power. He learns us to work in the power within us. And if we work in the power within us, then we learn to trust him. And then he starts putting in place to use us. And we step in there with his power in the place he provided. And we do well before God. Y'all with? I mean, does this go with prayer or what? Or what? Or what? Okay. Now, we got this. So we see this, our not quitting enables God to bring his full intended effect so we will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He's working on us so he can fulfill his prayer and so that we're ready to step in to that fulfillment. Now, what I want to do here, therefore, we naturally count trials all joy. Why? Y'all tell me. If you can't tell me, I'm going to get mad and leave. Why do we count it all joy? Trials, God, this stinks. No, count it all joy. He's working in us. He's working around us. He's bringing our prayers to pass. So we count it all joy because we see the end. But we see the end by faith. See? All right, now here, I want try to go with this a little faster, but here's a complimentary verse by the Apostle Paul. So we had James has given us. Okay, now Paul, look what Paul says. I mean, I don't even know, I guess they knew each other. I don't know if Paul and James even knew each other, but Paul wrote about 30 years after, actually wrote James. So here's what Paul writes. Same thing. He writes the same thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Again, I'm going to go a little faster through this. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Here's Paul. We rejoice. Just say, all of us say together, oh, come on. Good grief. Or am I the only one that says that? We rejoice in our sufferings. Of course I do. Lord, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Speak that prayer. Smoke comes out of my nostril, fire out of my mouth, and I answer it. And then you rejoice in your sufferings, because you know your sufferings produce endurance. Great. Endurance produces great. And character produces hope. I mean, I'm thinking we're talking another 12 years here. I mean, are we talking another 12 years here? I ask. I heard you. Oh, my gosh. Then he starts working stuff. Us and the things around us. Now, here we rejoice in sufferings. Okay, we rejoice, and a little faster. Here we rejoice in sufferings. Why? Why do we rejoice in sufferings? Sufferings produce endurance or steadfastness. You shall teach you not to quit. You know, and sufferings will teach you not to quit. Finish well. Okay. And the literal word here for endurance, it means, I read this stuff and I laugh to myself. The literal word here for endurance means patience under pressure. God, give me patience. No, that's not the prayer. Patience under pressure. Under pressure. So you have to have pressure, have this kind of patience under pressure. Or it can mean this, remaining under. Remaining under. Don't go in. That's what it means. Okay, so suffering, I will remain under. And then that will produce character. Now, just use our own term of character, whatever you think about. Oh, that guy has character. That girl has character. This guy doesn't have any character. You know, and it's like, so you're talking something internal, like, the, I'm going to go, he doesn't have any character. Well, this is what God says. These people don't have any character. He's looking at the church. You guys don't have any character. Well, in this, it'd be, well, every time you suffer, you quit, bellyache. And, see? So you, so suffering, you know, you just throw it in. And you don't endure. So I ain't taking this pain. I'm out of here. You know, 26 mile, mm-mm. I give you a top 10, and I'm done. See, there's no endurance, okay? But he said, no. The suffering produces endurance. Go the whole 26 miles. And when you go the whole 26 miles, that guy and gal have character. What did they do? Finished. Characters. People with character finish. Finish. You want to teach your kids character? Don't let them quit. You started this, you finish it. Don't have to go out next year, but you finish this. You don't quit. You teach them character. You see what I'm saying? You teach character. Well, they don't have any character. Well, teach them character. And God tells you how to do it. Suffering. You know, let the little tax. No, I'm not going there. But see, God is telling us when you suffer, it produces endurance, steadfastness, remain under. And endurance produces character. Now, look what it says about character. It's really interesting. It says, character means, this is in the original language, they use character. Character means learning from experience. Now, learning from experience. How do you learn from experience? You don't quit. All the lessons. You have to work through stuff. You got with, and it builds character. You have to work through everything. You have to understand. You have to continue to work through. And especially we understand that God's bringing this stuff. He said, this is what you really need to work through because I just brought this into your life. So character means learning from experience or possessing values that have been tested. Possessing values that have been tested. I'm a high school NFL player, you know? Or I have tested and gone through the fire and haven't quit and gone all the through, and we just won the Super Bowl. I'm an NFL player. Been tested. He did it. He did it. Okay, now that's an example of winning the Super Bowl. But the point of it is, in everything in life, in every single thing in life, it means we learn from experience. You know, I'll use Carlos one thing. His son likes to wrestle, and he told he went someplace. The guy just cleaned his clock, okay, like that. He said, see, you learned something. See, that's what you learn from experience. And I'm not saying this to Carlo, but if Chase never got beat, you know, in prayer, he wouldn't be worth quarter. Excuse me. He would always be worth more. But not in wrestling. No, you said, no, I got to overcome this. Man, this guy was better than me. He was just flat, and then you overcome it. You don't quit. You overcome it. What did you do? You learn from experience like that. That shows character. Now, apply it to anything, you know. I mean, I'm not saying all wrestlers have character. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying how we learn character, how God teaches character. We go through stuff, and we endure it. And as we go in, as we endure it, God teaches us things about ourselves, who we are, and how to persevere and how to come on the other end. And as we come out on the other end with all the lessons we learn, God develops character. Character. Character comes with various trials and suffering. I've never been through nothing. Don't ever say that to me, because I'll go, you know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, anyway, any character. You know, I would never say that. I said, Jesus loves you, and come on. Okay, but you see what I'm saying. But you see what I'm, and what I'm saying, this is what the Bible says. He tells us. The Bible tells us how this works, okay? And so it's something we need to understand. It is our experience, you know, character is our living demonstration. You don't hide character. It's our living demonstration. It is our experience of standing with God. We develop character. Our experience of standing with God. Now, and so we look at this, then we go from character to hope. Isn't that funny? You go from character. You know, people without character don't have any hope. Never stood with God, never learned anything, and they don't have any hope in God. But it says here, character produces hope. And hope is an expectation that God's going to do what he said. Hope is based on our experience with God, which produces an assurance in God or hope in God. Character brings us through to the end with the things we learn, and it produces hope, an assurance that God will do what he said, because he just did what he said for me today. And you never forget it. Now, we got lots of other lessons. Okay, lots of that. But you see how this character is people been through stuff and survived. They survived. And they have seen God work. They stand strong. See, that's character. And therefore, when you have character, then you know and have assurance of what God's going to do. You just change with character. And so God's telling us. And I want to throw this back to prayer. Oh, God, I prayed to you, and ever since I opened my mouth, I've done nothing but suffer. God said, that's good, because that's what I'm doing. It's good you're suffering. You're feeling the pain. I'm coming in. I'm moving. Don't quit. Amen. So he tells us, I heard your prayer immediately. Don't answer this. Have you ever prayed for something? Ever prayed for something? And it immediately got worse. I have. Oh, God. And I lay it out there. And then all hell breaks loose. I said, well, thanks a lot for that. I'll come to you with everything. I said, this. Why? Because, no, I heard it. Okay, I'm moving, and it's going to cause you some suffering. You're going to suffer. All right, you're going to suffer. You got various trials. You know, it's like. But so he tells us here, if we just hear the prayer, they ask anything you want, and everything gets better. So I ain't ever saying another thing to God. Oh, my God. But no, he's like, okay, now I pray. And say, oh, God, anything you say, now hold aside my chair. So go ahead. Because he's going to move. It's going to get dark. It's like, okay. But I know why it's getting dark. Don't like it. But I'm learning to count it all joy and, you know, do the rejoicing thing. You know, so. Okay, so isn't this powerful? I mean the word, not what I said. Isn't this powerful? And it ties directly into prayer. Therefore, since this produces an assurance in God or hope in God, therefore, we joyfully, that's how this one starts out, rejoice. Therefore, we joyfully expect God to act. I pray all hell flies, everything gets like, oh God, you're moving, hallelujah. Because I see God is acting. But I have to change my vision to God's vision so that I can interpret what's happening around us and to us, around us and to us. Therefore, when we face trials, we count it all joy because we have the assurance God will act. Did you know sometimes when we pray and everything goes to hell in the handbasket, that is the assurance that God's acting. And all God's people said, amen. Anyway, okay. Tell me, say, isn't this, I mean, this is crazy. Okay, we all have trials, so we all have opportunities to rejoice. I mean, every time you come to church, you just be rejoicing, you know. Hey, my world's falling apart. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, but I mean, that's kind of what it says. Now, it's not being flippant like that. It really is a sincere connection, but trust in God. This is also very important to understand prayer in our life. While our prayers are in the process of being answered, God is developing endurance, character, and the assurance to trust in God in our lives. I'm going to read that one more point. Explains everything. Explains while our prayers are in the process of being answered, God is developing endurance, character, and the assurance to trust God in our lives. See, he got a big picture. He's got a big picture. And I just put a little note here and said, some of us learn faster than others. And, you know, I'm the slow learner side of that. So, anyway. Okay. Here we are, wrapping up. I didn't make it that much shorter. But anyway, all this endurance, character, and assurance is based solely, now listen, it's based solely on Jesus. Jesus. Without Jesus, don't expect anybody to do this. Or some false God or some, you know, self-discipline or leadership book. Or, don't expect this to happen. This solely is based on endurance, character, and assurance. It's solely based on Jesus. Without Jesus, it can't happen. So don't frustrate people without Jesus. Give them Jesus first. You just frustrate people. Just frustrate people. So we end with this. It's based on Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 kind of wraps it up. It kind of wraps the whole theology up in Jesus. Because, 1 Corinthians 1:30, because of God, how many of you here think you were in God because of your own wisdom? No. God. You know, you didn't even have any part. I mean, you accept Christ, but you, the working of your salvation came from God. Because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Now, why are you in Christ Jesus? Because of God. I tried real hard, and I finally figured Jesus. No. Because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, all those are theological words, and you can study each one. They have a lot of wisdom from God. Righteousness, you know, being as righteous. God, sanctification, totally set apart. You know, redemption, be about back. And we talk. And in fact, there's messages in all four of those things. But no, here we said, no, just you're in Christ, you have it. You don't have to study it or nothing. It's in Jesus, you have it. It's yours. It's yours. You are that fully fit, talented football player in junior high. You are that person, you know. And God goes, I'm going to take you to the NFL. I mean, it explains everything. It explains everything right there. You know, we don't like it, we fight it, and all sorts of things, you know. But no, it explains everything. And all God's people said, amen. 2022, bring it on. Bring it on. We're ready. Ain't nothing yet. Bring it on. You know, in Jesus, we're going to sail in this thing, and we're going to get better through it. Worse it gets, better we get. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, and then as I pray, I just want you all to process this a little bit, and then I just want you to take a little time, pray yourself of how God loves you so much and is working in you and is answering your prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. You're wonderful. You're good. You love us. What you've done for us is inexplicable. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that our sins are forgiven. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know we are forgiven, and we have a home in heaven. That's all it takes. All it takes. But we know that you continue to teach us. We know, and we thank you for that. Just take a few minutes now and just pray. Say, okay, God, I know what's happening. I know what's happening. Be my teacher. I know what's happening. Oh, Lord, take me through each of these things that produces the other thing in my actual life. Thank you, Jesus. Just continue to pray, man. Dear God in heaven, I just know I can join together with these brothers and sisters just in prayer, Lord, that you care for us more than we can imagine. And you're working in our lives and things we can't even see sometimes, but you are answering our prayers. You're moving in us and around us, and we thank you in advance for that. And Lord, we're working on rejoicing and counting in all joy because it's you answering our prayers. And Lord, you're taking care of all the things we don't understand and can't see. And so we thank you for that, God. We just thank you for that. And so, Lord, we give you all things. And Lord, we thank you that you revealed the truth to us so we can understand what's happening in heaven, so here on earth we can be strong. And it is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, we do give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, y'all stand up. I think there's some refreshments in back. All right. Roseanne's not back there, so some faithful.